Welcome to Cherish Ephesians 6:4, and the title for this week's article is, Why Do You Say My Money? It was about 5 years into my new Christian life before I became familiar with what the Bible says about all things related to money. I became part of a small group Bible study, and reflecting back, I learned some of the most life-impacting truths in my Christian life. One of the most glorious truths had to do with God's ownership of everything, and consequently, my ownership of nothing. I was greatly convicted as I thought about my perspective on money and other material things for so many years. Like most everyone, I thought about and spoke of my money as, well, you know, my money. Other than knowing that I needed to give some of, quote-unquote, my money to the church, because I'm supposed to, God was given little part in my plans except for me hoping for his blessing on my money-making efforts. But then, through the study, his word came. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it, from Deuteronomy 10:14. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, from Psalm 24:1. But this was just the tip of the iceberg. The next passage that I will share is what I believe is one of the greatest passages in the entire Bible. For context, we must travel back to the reign of King David. The Lord has spoken to David and has told him that David's son, not David, will be the one who builds a temple for the Lord. However, David is to take an offering for the temple from the people. The people respond with great generosity, and both the people and David rejoice greatly. And here is what happens next. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. And then David goes on to say this, But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and from your own we have given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. That great passage is from 1 Chronicles 29:10 through 22. And my heart is still lifted up when I read this passage. I wanted to underline or emphasize every word in those 12 verses in my Bible, but what I'm trying to point out here are the parts more pertinent to answering the question of who owns everything. It is the Lord. In addition, he is in absolute control and no man is outside of that control, Proverbs 21:1. He rules and reigns the earth, Isaiah 40:21. And he is the creator of all things, Acts 17:26. And what about evil and the bad things that may happen to me, even when others mean to hurt me or other things in the world are tragic for me? God is in control, turning things that were meant for evil into good for me and his glory, Genesis 50:19 and Romans 8:28. This is the God who has saved us from our selfish, self-centered, sinful hearts, evidenced once again by the idea that whatever we have in our possession not only belongs to us, but has come to us as a result of our own efforts. I hope these passages have brought a new light to you too. If so, the question is begged. If God owns all that I have, and he is the reason that I have it, what am I supposed to do with it? Good question. This area of biblical truth is called stewardship. The fact that you and I are just managers of what belongs to the Lord, and how that management must be aligned with precepts and commands that relate to advancing his kingdom, not ours. A major part of advancing his kingdom and obeying his commandments will be done through the handling of his money as it pertains to family and children. What will your children learn from you and how you handle God's money? How absent will you be from your duties as a spouse and a parent because of the need to make more money, or even simply to make ends meet? What educational choices will be off limits because of your lack of financial planning or funds? Obviously, very, very important to the life of the Christian and his family. This is all part of our pursuit to faithfully raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And God willing, I will have more to share with you on this matter soon. Thank you for listening.